Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. We've had quite a few developments in the last 24 hours. Jeremy Corbyn backing a second referendum and Theresa May saying that she will give Parliament a chance to block no deal. So how does this change the prospects for Brexit? I'm Fraser Nelson. I'm joined by Katie Bowles and James Forsyth. So, James, we've just had the cabinet meeting where Theresa May was grilled by her fellow ministers about what she intends to do. How did it go?
Today's cabinet was not a happy affair. You had Liz Truss having a go at kamikaze cabinet ministers, aiming that criticism at Amber Rudd, Greg Clark and David Gawk. I'm sure Andrea Leadsom was kind of audibly furious. One Secretary of State was making the point to me that this isn't just people who are kind of ideologically up for no deal Brexit who were making these arguments. That, you know, this person was saying that they'd never seen James Brokenshire as angry as he was at cabinet today. But I think the bigger problem for the Tory party is what is it going to do if May's meaningful vote fails? Because under Theresa May's plan as set out to Parliament today, there'd be first be a vote on no deal, and then there'd be a vote on extending Article 50. What's the government position going to be on those two questions? And when Michael Gove asked Theresa May this at Cabinet, that there was no answer. And I think this is the real problem for the government, because at some point, you know, is the government, if May's deal fails on March 12th, and you have this vote on no deal on the 13th, is Theresa May going to say, well, I'm now up for leaving with no deal, and I'm going to whip my government to support no deal? In which case, all these ministers who she's moved to stop resigning would resign. If not, can the government really have a free vote on such a big question? And is the government going to whip in favour of a delay? I doubt it, given how often she has said that the UK is leaving on March 29th. So in a way, this has sharpened all of the options, but this hasn't resolved anything.
So it seems, Katie, as if the Tories have come up with an almighty fudge, rather like Labour's almighty fudge.
I think there are different levels of fudge here. Theresa May has managed to delay her problems, at least she hopes she has, for a little bit longer. So she is hoping that by saying that she is going to give MPs a chance to vote on preventing no deal, if they vote down her deal, they will not vote to do that this week. And I think when it comes to James's point that Theresa May doesn't know how she's going to whip for these potentially hypothetical votes, I don't think the government is thinking that far ahead. I think the government is thinking, how do we stay in power this week and how do we potentially get a deal through? So Theresa May hopes that MPs actually vote for her deal on the 12th of March.
But by the way, I mean, we say vote for her deal, but this is the same deal that was rejected by more than 200 votes. She's hoping that the EU is going to come and sweeten that deal. We still don't know, but it might not. Because if you're Michel Barnier right now, you'd be thinking, well, why should I give the Brits anything at all, given that Theresa May looks like she's about to be forced by her parliament to take no deal off the table, and then Britain's choice will be between either staying in the EU or accepting whatever deal we deign to offer.
Well, that's exactly why there's such fury at cabinet, because lots of ministers and presumably Theresa May think that by making it so you have to vote to potentially stop a no-deal Brexit, you are removing incentive from Brussels to give a concession. But ultimately, the numbers in Parliament and the fact that so many of her ministers are prepared to rebel to make that reality means that Theresa May has had little choice today but to offer something to try and stop the most recent no-deal happening. So I think there are some who think actually this might even help her, because the ERG, the Brexiteers, when she comes back for a deal, and they hope there'll be a small concession on the backstop, will really have to think, if I vote this down on the 12th of March, what happens next? On the 13th of March, we vote to potentially stop a no-deal Brexit. On the 14th of March, we vote for a delay to Article 50. And after that, it gets very hard to go back to a place of having Theresa May's deal.
Right, because before today's gambit, Katie, the Jacob Rees-Moggs of this world might have thought, well, you know what, if we don't like whatever she comes back from Brussels with, we're going to vote it down and we'll go straight to a clean Brexit, as he would see it. Now he'll be thinking, actually, this clean Brexit route looks a lot less likely because you would need a majority in Parliament to back that. So if I don't support her deal, it's possible I'll get something even worse.
Exactly. And I'm sure we'll hear more about Jacob Rees-Mogg's exact thoughts on this tonight at the Spectator event with a large crowd. But until that point, there is a point that some Brexiteers really might have to think twice. But we have been saying this for quite a long time, that the odds were not moving in the Brexiteers' favour, and at some point they might choose to compromise on Theresa May's deal. And every time they do seem to surprise some people and refuse to compromise. So I don't think it is a given that they now bend to Theresa May's way on the 12th, but really, I think there are a portion, at least in the ERG, who are going to have to think twice about that.
The question is, essentially now, if you vote against Theresa May's deal on the 12th of March, you are voting for an extension to Article 50, given the House of Commons arithmetic. Now, these people will say that's not what they're going through the division lobby for. They're just going through the division lobby to oppose Theresa May's deal. But given that what we know about the parliamentary arithmetic, that is essentially what's happening. And I think today's cabinet also offered a preview of the next argument to come, which is, I'm told it was pretty clear from Philip Hammond's remarks that he favours a lengthy extension. Because one thing that people say is, look, if you only extend by a few months to basically the beginning of the term of the next European Parliament, mm-hmm. there's no way you could extend beyond after that, because how would you get round this question of the MEPs? So the argument goes that you have to, in March, decide whether you want to extend for a long period, you know, maybe all the way up to December 2020, or whether you just want to extend for 3 months. And that wouldn't be possible to extend that. So people are saying that, already beginning to say that's too short. And I think this is the real question for opponents of Theresa May's deal, which is, you know, what do you think might happen to Brexit if you ended up with a 21-month extension? I mean, that is the uncertainty factor here.
And James, you've written in the magazine before that not just Philip Hammond, that Emmanuel Macron would prefer a long extension if an extension is going to happen at all. And also, remember, all we can do is ask for an extension. Yep. I mean, right now, we turn on the BBC and we say Parliament will vote for an extension. Yep. No, Parliament can vote to ask, and then the EU will decide what length of time suits it best.
Macron likes the idea of a long extension. I think he's long thought this gives the greatest time for the domestic political dynamics in the UK to change. I suspect that some of this polling, which might well be very frothy, but some of this polling for the independent group is going to add to this impression in the chancelleries of Europe. And I'm told that Angela Merkel doesn't like the idea of a short extension, because she doesn't want her final year or so as German Chancellor to be dominated by every 3 months the Brits coming back saying, yeah, well, can we have another extension? I think this is the problem. I also think this, which is, from a spin point of view, you know, Parliament can do whatever it likes, but only Theresa May can go and negotiate this extension. So you can't know what kind of extension you're going to get.
I have to say, Katie, on current trends, there's not much faith in Theresa May's negotiating powers. I mean, I saw it suggested that she's the sort of person who would come away from DFS with a full-priced sofa. That's the sort of negotiator she is.
I don't think the House, having just sat in when Theresa May was giving this statement, there were several bouts of laughter, which seemed to mainly come from the Labour benches, but I think there could have been a few cackles on the Tory benches when Theresa May made several claims about how she always did what she said she was going to do, yeah, so MPs can really trust her on these votes. And I think one of the problems is there's such a low level of trust after the way Theresa May has said she will do things and then change them, whether it's negotiating red lines or even when people get to vote on things, that it's not even 100% clear this is going to stop problems this week for her.
But we've also got Jeremy Corbyn in a similar contortion. It's Tuesday, so we discuss her magazine's image, and what we're going to go for is Theresa May being stretched agonisingly by her colleagues, and Jeremy Corbyn also being stretched by his colleague. The headline's going to be Breaking Point, James, you're writing the cover story. So let's talk a bit about Jeremy Corbyn, because he said he'll have a second referendum. He was asked something like 20 times whether that referendum question would have remain as an option, and he wouldn't answer. So it seems that he is certainly half-hearted about this. Do we know with any certainty what Labour's new position is?
Well, the official position is that Remain would be an option. I think Jeremy Corbyn's refusal to say it shows how reluctantly he has been dragged to this position. I mean, I think if it was not for the threat of more defections, Jeremy Corbyn would not be doing this. And it's noticeable yesterday that Labour didn't send out a press release with great fanfare. Instead, it was going to bury down after caveat that they were going to back a public vote if their preferred Brexit doesn't get majority support in the Commons this week, which it won't. So I think that is the test here. I think the other thing is that both Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May, that you know, they don't have control of their parties. They're both acting in ways to stop people either resigning in the case of Theresa May or quitting their party in the case of Jeremy Corbyn. And that all adds to this instability in British politics. And I think that, you know, I tend to agree with Katie. At the moment, there are no signs that the hardcore of the ERG are thinking, actually, maybe we'd better just take May's deal because it's on the table and an extension is worse. So I think we are into an even more unpredictable phase of the Brexit play out here. And, you know, I personally think one of the reasons Jeremy Corbyn is prepared to back a second referendum is he doesn't think it can get through the House of Commons. So I think the ultimate strategy is to say, well, we tried to get a second referendum, but there weren't the votes for it. But I think that things are moving so fast, you can't be certain that by the time the meaningful vote comes round, there won't be the votes for it, if you follow my logic. So I think we are in properly uncharted waters. And again, as we were saying earlier, I don't think that Geoffrey Cox is going to come back from Brussels with something. But he's not going to come back with Brussels with a ladder that reaches high enough for every Tory MP to climb back down it. And so this might seem a funny thing to say as we get closer to the end date, but the uncertainty is increasing. You know, I used to say that the no Brexit outcome was a more than a 35% chance. It's now like nothing is more than a 33.33 recurring chance. But something is going to have to happen at some point.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes store, and also to the magazine itself. We've got a special offer, which makes no economic sense, where you get £20 a John Lewis voucher if you subscribe for 12 weeks for just £12. Spectator.co.uk/voucher.